The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' And he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going in into the dominion of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. So when I write a sermon, I like to read the text early in the week, or even before sometimes, and I spend a few days just thinking about it and sort of marinating in the text, if you will, and seeing what pops into my mind. And it tends to create a lot of "God works in mysterious ways" moments for me as I start to form connections in the world around me with what's happening in the gospel passage for the week. And this week, I encountered several other preachers on social media who were preparing their thoughts on this passage. And an Episcopal priest named Laura, who's part of this web of clergy that I interact with on social media, she addressed Jesus's peculiar response to the chief priests. When the chief priests and the elders come to question Jesus, he responds with a question of his own. And Laura helped me remember that this is not just sort of a sassy way to circumvent their question, but it's a teaching moment. And she interprets Jesus's rhetorical moves here through the lens of a teacher who, instead of outright answering a question, offers the question asker a way to come to the necessary conclusions on their own. And so as readers or listeners of this passage, we also get to take part in that teaching moment. And we are given, as Laura writes, an opportunity to wrestle with Holy Scripture, to figure out and discern how Christ is talking to us in this very moment through the ancient words we find in Scripture. Jesus invites us in this moment to wrestle with Holy Scripture, to accept that whatever questions we bring are likely not going to be met with a simple answer. Today's gospel, the authorities come to Jesus with a question that seems like it could have a simple answer. By whose authority are you teaching in the temple? And instead, Jesus poses a question to them, and when they can't answer it, he continues with a parable. Notably, he opens, "What do you think? A father has two sons, both of whom he asked to go work in the vineyard. And one son says, 'No, I'd rather not.' But eventually he does go and he does the work. And the second replies, 'Absolutely.' But in reality, he doesn't go." So the impression the father is left with after speaking to his sons is very different than the deeper reality behind what's going on. So Jesus concludes this parable by tying it back to his question regarding John. "And for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your mind and believe him." Jesus again encourages his listeners to look for the deeper reality behind the surface level appearance. Because of their place in society and their assumed reputation, this category of people would not be expected to be associated with the way of righteousness. The religious authorities, however, simply by their positions, appear on the surface to have followed the correct path. Jesus teaches it's not that simple. In the moments after the father asked his sons to work, he would have been struck by the first son's refusal, probably disappointed. The second son, however, with his emphatic yes, likely made his father proud in that moment. But hours later, when the father goes to check on the vineyard, or when one son comes home dirty and tired from his work in the fields, and the other is spotless, it's clear that the picture of how things looked to the father in that early moment has shifted dramatically. Things are not that simple. Jesus does not offer a straightforward answer here, but an opportunity to think more deeply about the reality at hand. So I wonder, how can we apply this invitation to probe more deeply beyond the surface of what appears to be? What are we invited to wrestle with today? So I mentioned earlier that sermon preparation for me often involves social media. Many of the platforms I'm on, like Twitter and Facebook, have allowed me to connect with this whole web of people who are wrestling with the same text that I am. And I can see their questions and their discoveries and insights in real time as they work through scripture. And it's especially been a gift to have these communities throughout the pandemic, particularly in our times of deepest isolation in the spring, to know that there were others wrestling with how to hold faith in the midst of so much uncertainty and fear. There were others collectively asking the same questions that we've been asking at UniLU, faithfully pondering when and how do we reopen? What will communion look like? What does it mean to be church virtually? In the past few months, I've really found a community in these online spaces. And yet again, with social media, it's not that simple. The merits don't erase the negative impact that constant concern with cultivating an online presence can have. Even without the perhaps scarier and more serious concerns like data access or manipulation of information, social media is just frustrating sometimes. And alongside the content that helped me make sense of and process the heaviness of this year, alongside gratitude for reminders that I was not alone, there are also repeated reminders that there are so many people who are not responding in the same way that I am. And I can easily be bombarded with status updates and pictures that make it all too clear that there are thousands of people around me that are making choices that I would not make in the midst of a global pandemic. And the same spaces that have offered me comfort and connection can also, with just one post, incite my fear or my anger. So in other words, it's not that simple. Social media can offer spaces of connection and collective sharing in joys or sorrows, can offer opportunities to make sense of complicated moments with people across the world. But there's just as much space in all that for sharing hurtful or painful rhetoric. And this year, as the voice of Black Lives Matter movement became louder in the United States in response to increasing murders of Black bodies, social media was there, for better or for worse. And at its best, it's a tool to share vital information for the movement, to raise awareness of the atrocities that are committed against Black and Brown bodies in the United States, and to offer resources to commit to striving for justice. At its best, social media platforms can be a driving force for societal change. But as always, it's not that simple. And social media is also a space to share the exact opposite kind of content. Or perhaps even more complicated, it can create this false sense of reality. Many media platforms like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, they're all about cultivating a profile. What you choose to share creates sort of an online persona. And this creates plenty of opportunities to be like that second son in the parable, to say, yes, emphatically, I will go and work in the vineyard. Yes, I will commit myself to anti-racism work. But what happens next? After this initial moment of yes, the second son had no follow through. And social media creates this perfect context to look on the surface like we're saying yes to doing the work, to sharing an article or an infographic to make it clear that you're aware, while in reality, on a deeper level, there's no change of heart like the one that drives the decision of the first son who follows through. So to me, social media can be a perfect example of the kind of performative action that we can take in anti-racism work or anything we care about. So even if you're not on social media, though, there is still a message in Jesus's parable to consider more deeply your own actions. We're all invited to examine our own intentions. Are we being authentic in our commitment to strive for justice? Will we say yes emphatically but then shy away from having a hard conversation? Or will we show up to do our work in the vineyard? The truth is, we're likely to be the first and second son at different points in our lives. Jesus ends his lesson with the words, "You did not change your minds and believe him." And it may sound like a pretty clear ending, kind of a neat finale to this parable. But again, it's not that simple. These words, like the whole parable itself, are an invitation to keep wrestling. Through and with the grace of God, we're continuously given the opportunity to do our work in the vineyard. No matter how many times we say yes and then turn away, or even if we've never said yes at all, Jesus is always inviting us to wrestle, to take a deeper look, to tackle the hard questions. And walking alongside us, offering the guidance of these parables in Scripture to guide our path as we wrestle. Amen.